Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
President Obama released his tax returns. It turns out he made $900,000 less in 2011 than he did in 2010. You know what that means? Even Obama is doing worse under President Obama. That can't be good. Well, in an interview with The Atlantic, that magazine, President Obama said he prefers Jay-Z to Kanye. That's what he says. Did you know Obama was a fan of hip-hop? Did you know that? In fact, he has his own rap nickname, Biggie Deficit. That's his
nickname. I say it's an honor to be a food stamp president. Food stamps feed the hungry. Food stamps save the children. Food stamps helps the farmer. Food stamp helps the truck driver. Food stamps help the warehouse. Food stamps help the store. Food stamps hire people and feed people. Food stamps save people from starvation and malnutrition. Whenever you attack feeding the hungry, you undermine the moral authority of our faith. Give President Barack Obama a big hand. Show your love. Show your appreciation.
And welcome to the show. It is 1 minute after the hour on the coast across the country right here on Reese on the Radio on June the 8th, 2012. I'm your host, Reese on the Radio. Mary, while you're bugging, will not be on the show today due to personal, she had some personal reasons, so she's going to be taking the night off, and, you know, we send our best to Mary. JC, I'm sure, will be joining us soon. The producer is nowhere to be found. I don't say that to rip him. I just tried to call him earlier. There has been a report that was released earlier today. I believe TMZ has the pictures. Yahoo News is reporting it, that Lindsay Lohan was indeed released from a hospital after a car accident when she was on her way to the set, I believe, filming the Elizabeth Taylor biopic, and we're going to get JC to get our friend, Michael Lohan. That's right, I can say that now. Our friend, Michael Lohan, on the phone. I'm sure he's concerned. I don't want to call him and bug him, but I'm sure that we can call him now that he knows that his daughter is safe and she's okay. According to reports, she was in the car with a passenger, I believe a male passenger. They're not identifying who that person is, but they appear to be okay. They were released from the hospital. And, you know, we'll see if we can contact him just at least to get a comment from Michael and see whether or not he'll at least say, you know, whether or not she's okay, she's had any injuries. I'm terrified of car accidents. When I hear people are in car accidents, I think about my own. I'm the worst passenger in a car. I'm probably the better driver than I am a passenger when it comes to driving. I am fearful of sitting in a passenger seat while someone is driving. And let me explain to you why. Because I don't trust you, whomever you are. I can't really trust you because I don't know what type of personality you have behind the wheel. People are different behind the wheel of a car than they are in their regular lives. You can be a very practical person. You can be a very pragmatic person. I guess I'm saying the same thing. I get you can be that kind of sane, orderly person in your regular life. But behind the wheel of a car, you are a different person. And this isn't about distractions. This isn't about that, you know, the cell phone, the text messaging thing. This isn't about any of that. You're a different person when you're behind the car because you understand what's going on behind being behind the wheel of a car. It's a dangerous situation. You know that. And some people, and I know I'll probably get a lot of letters about this, but when you are behind the wheel of a car, you're in one of two very extreme positions. You're between those two. If you are an aggressive driver, everyone else around you is a maniac, and you're the best driver in the world. Or you're on the other end of the spectrum, where you're nervous that everyone else around who's driving is a maniac, and they're out to kill you. I will be honest with you, I fit somewhere towards the latter. I am a cautious driver who believes that every other person around them is a maniac, but I do not believe that I'm the best driver in the world. I believe that I'm a cautious driver who is always looking out for the next knucklehead to kill me. And so when I heard about Lindsay in the car and in the car accident, she, you know, it's funny because she drives herself a lot. You know, and I don't know how much money Lindsay Lohan has, but if I were in her position, I would probably say most of my accrued income would go towards limo drivers or car service drivers, because I wouldn't be able to drive, especially being in that spot. Like, I got all this other stuff in my mind. I'm worried about when the next paycheck's coming. I got to worry about the role. I got to get into character. I got, you know, the tabloids breathing down my neck. People want my picture. The last thing I want to do is be behind deadly something as deadly as a car. So JC's joined us. JC, you're there. Do me a favor, boss man, if you're there. Can you click your mic off? Okay, you're there.
Absolutely here.
Okay, do me a favor. See if we can at least get Michael Lohan on the phone, at least for a statement, if you could. Did you heard
gotcha.
About Lindsay's car accident, right?
No.
Okay, Lindsay was in a car accident earlier today, this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been released from the hospital. They say she's okay. They say she was on her way to, to the set to be filming this Elizabeth Taylor thing. And let's see if we can get a statement from Michael Lohan, if he's available. I'm sure he wouldn't have answered that if his daughter was still in the hospital, but I hear now she's been released. See if you can get any of his people on the phone, see if they'll at least respond, see if we get some word from him, if he's okay.
Let me ask you this.
Go for it.
This is the first time I'm hearing of it, but I'm going to guess that they're already saying that she was drunk or on drugs or something.
No. Report from Yahoo News says that no one was drinking. They say that it was an accident on the highway. They say that she crashed. According to the report, let me read it here. They said actress Lindsay Lohan escaped injury in a major car crash today after her Porsche collided with a dump truck on a Southern California highway. Police said that Lohan was driving her black Porsche with an unidentified passenger on a Pacific Coast Highway in Santa Monica on her way to the set of her latest movie project and collided with a dump truck. They said, according to a statement, the police said Lindsay was involved in an automobile accident today on her way to the set. She is fine, was released less than 2 hours later, and is already headed back to the set to resume work. Fortunately, no one was seriously injured in the incident. Lohan's publicist, Steve Honig, said in a statement, celebrity news website TMZ posted pictures of Lohan's Porsche. The Porsche does look bad.
Really?
It looks bad, yeah. I mean, thank God it's the Porsche that's damaged and, you know, not her. But
right.
But see whether or not, based on our telephone number, see if we can get... Tell him if he doesn't want to come on, that's absolutely fine. We just want to know that everything's okay. She's got no headaches, no residual injuries. We're concerned, so we want to make sure that she's okay. You know we love her, dude. You know, we express it all the time in jest. We kind of joke about how crazy we are about her. So, you know, I'm sure he knows that. So let's
right.
see if we can at least get a statement from him. If we get nothing, we get nothing. But at least let's reach out to him and let him know that Reese on the Radio is sending out, sending out our concerns. You know, we're wishing her well, and we're glad she's okay.
Okay.
All right. So JC will go and do that. See whether or not we can get any info on that. Hopefully, we will. If not, we'll just try again another time. But like I said, it's an accident. But to get back to my point about driving, I'm always concerned about other people driving me because I don't know what type of person you are in that sort of dynamic that I broke down, whether you're the extremist driver who thinks everybody else is a knucklehead, you're the best driver in the world, or whether or not you're that docile driver who's scared to death to drive and thinks everybody is out to kill them. And as I said, I'm closer to the latter. I'm just a cautious driver. I follow the speed limit because I don't play with cops. That's one. I don't play with the police. I don't drive fast. I drive the speed limit. I follow the rules of the road. I pay very, very much attention to what it is that's going on around me. I don't like distractions in the car. But music. Music is a good motivator for me to be a good driver. I don't know why, but it is. Music sets the mood for me. I like driving music. It's kind of the thing that I guess I can say that when I listen to a good song, I can drive better. I guess that's odd to say. I don't know if anybody would agree with me. This is a current song that I like being in the car listening to, if I could. Indulge me, if you will. Right there on the highway. So you get my meaning. That's a good song. Now I know a couple of you are sitting out there going, no, don't stop that. That's a good groove. It is a good groove. I love that song. That's one of my new favorites. It's a group called Phoenix, rock group out of Phoenix. They did that song 1901, which I'm sure a lot of you remember. Came out a couple of years ago. That was a song I listened to religiously a couple of years ago. I love this song. It's another good driving song. Can't understand a word he's saying. I'm still not sure why it's called 1901. Anyway, so I love that song. I love that's two, well, about three songs by Phoenix that I really, really love. That's two of them. Big fan of the group Phoenix. But that's for me, that's motivational. When I'm, you know, when I'm driving, I need good music when I'm driving because that keeps me calm. You know what they say? Music soothes the savage beast. And when you're driving, you know, you're in aggressive mode. You're angry. You know, this guy cut me off. The traffic's not moving. That music, that mellows you out. You're listening to the song that you like to hear. If I were you driving, if I were any one of you, take your time one day when you got some free time. Do what it is that we used to do in high school, or at least in the 80s we did it. And I understand they did it in the 90s as well. But try to try to make yourself a mixtape. You're going to be driving for a while? Make yourself a cool mixtape of songs that's just for your trip. You're going to be driving for a half an hour? Song nowadays are about 3.5 minutes. So what does that work out to? Maybe 6-7 songs? Get yourself in the mood. Because when you're in a good mood, when you're driving, you avoid, you know, all that other stuff. So you're not distracted. I'm not saying get yourself into music that's going to make you completely, you know, out of sorts. You know what I mean? Don't get any headbanger stuff on your CD or on your MP3 player. I'm not saying get any violent rap. Kill a mother father. Kill a mother. No, I'm not talking about that. Just that mellow driving music, like, of course, I just displayed. You know, that's a good way to keep you, you know, keep your mental health going. Let's get JC back on the line. JC, you said you called all of his numbers and you got voicemail, huh?
Yeah, I got voicemails.
Okay. Can I do something weird right now?
What's that?
Let's leave him a voicemail from the show. On air. I think it'd be appropriate. Let's see if we can just get his voicemail. Let's get his voicemail and leave a nice message for him. We just want to, you know, at least something that he'll know came straight from our heart and straight on the show. And, you know, let him know that, you know, we're sending our best. We're glad she's okay and stuff like that. Can you do that?
Gotcha.
All right, well, let's dial it up live. Well, you don't have to dial it up live because we don't want anybody to get the touch tone numbers. We don't want to do that. Just let me know when you're getting ready to put it up. By the way, is his voice on the voicemail itself, or do we get, like, the repeat of the number?
No, his voice, I don't want to repeat the number, but, yeah, I'm going to call him with his voice on it, so stand by.
Yeah, okay, call the one with his voice on it, and then we'll leave a voicemail for him so at least he can hear it. And that would be, you know, it's the right thing to do, man. It's like, you know, it's kind of like a get-well card. You know, we just had him on the show this week. You know what I mean? And you know, just to do something that we hadn't forgot him, you know, he called. Okay, here it is. His voicemail is probably full. He's probably looking at the number now and says,
your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3109888.
That's the number.
He cut the phone off.
Did he cut it off?
Yeah, when that happens, yeah. When you get the operator cut straight through to the
Oh, right. So he didn't even have the phone on.
No, he turned it off.
Oh, okay.
I had a voicemail on it earlier.
Well, you know what? We'll send him a voicemail later on. You know, we don't want to give out the number. But, of course.
That was close.
That was really close. Well, Lindsay got into an accident. We were giving, we were trying to give Michael a call, you know, just to send all well wishes. She's okay, though. Wanted to, you know, say what's up and see how she was doing. She's been released from the hospital.
Well, he gave his number out on the air.
No, he didn't. We cut it off.
No. But she was on the show.
Oh, no, that's his other interactive number. We didn't. That's the other number that he had. We didn't bring that. So anyway, we're hoping that she's fine. We're sure she's going to be okay. She was released. She went back to the set, so she's good to go. But we'll try to reach him later. But Michael, of course, if you call us at Second Thought, you know, we just want to send our well wishes. We got plenty of other news to get into. I got some Hollywood breaking news that is going to make any movie enthusiast angry as all hell.
What are they remaking?
Hell. Yeah, see? JC knows. He's the movie enthusiast. What did you say, Jason?
What are they remaking?
When we get back, find out the B movie that they're remaking with hardcore A-list actors. A-listers. of all people. My goodness, I'm so ticked off. I mean, I'm angry because sometimes you just leave stuff alone. You just leave stuff alone. And you shouldn't do it. When you find out who's involved with this, you'll go nuts. Hey, here's another great song that I think personally is good driving music. Again, take my word for it. Make yourself. In fact, you don't even have to make a mixtape. Do it on your MP3 player. Make a specific list of driving music. And this is a great song by a group called the Silver Sun Pickups called Substitution. Great driving song. We'll be back at Sweet Sun Radio.
Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps? Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in the...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull. Or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue. Super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password? Ultra risky. So, trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701. Right here on Reese on the Radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb fucks,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. Levi, over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
to send a message to all our young people. I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb squats,
Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
I was supposed to put a bit under that. It's Reese on the radio. I was supposed to put some bumper music behind that, but I did not do it. It's Reese on the radio. We're back 31 minutes after the hour. On this Friday, FUBAR Friday, June the 8th, 2012, right here on blogtalkradio.com. I said that I was going to get into Hollywood making a mess. In a new film that I just heard was being remade. That's right. A new film being remade. I don't know whether or not you heard about it, but give me a minute on this one. I got to mention this. I'm trying to avoid sneezing. When I get into these points and then a sneezing fit comes on, I get angry. I get ticked off. But that's okay. I'm going to stick it out.
Okay. And even get it over with. Somehow we seem to have lost an audio. You there? Well, folks, this is Reese on the radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 347-308. 871.
I can't believe I didn't put the microphone on. That's my bad.
Oh, we were going to carry on without you.
No, of course you
were
going to carry on without me. I forgot that I didn't. Not only did I not put a music bed under that, I didn't even turn the microphone on. So I apologize for the delay. Guys, please, forgive me. Just, you know, you move up this part. Okay,
did you sneeze yet?
Yeah, I sneezed.
Okay, good.
I went on a sneezing fit, and then I wanted. Okay, so you may not have heard this song. Okay? You probably haven't heard this song. It probably doesn't mean anything. It's got language. So, parental discretion is advised. Okay? But I'm going to play this for you. I said that there's music that you should drive to, and you can drive to. And that will put you in a better mood when you're driving. So, you know, keeps you mellow. Doesn't get you agitated. Doesn't make you scared. Keeps you in a, you know, state of mind. It's not euphoric. Maybe that's a wrong choice of words. Not euphoric, but it keeps you in the right state of mind. It's called driving music. This would not be categorized as driving music. As soon as it cues up. Thought I was ready already. Enough already. That is a rapper named Little Fat.
I'm counting money for them niggas that's gone. Well, Lil Fat's gone.
That's right.
Just reported that Lil Fat was shot and killed in Atlanta. Gangsta rap, zero. Real world, three. That's right. And any out there, you foolish ass Negroes, don't know what it is that I'm talking about, you can get it. You can get it. Am I supposed to be mourning the death of this fool ass Negro? Hell no. Real world three, gangster rap zero. Peace out, Little Fat. Your music was garbage. Which probably only means that they'll martyr your dumbass by playing your music on some stupid rap station. Playing homage to you, and then we'll move on maybe in about 6 months and forget you ever existed. Mwah! Peace. While the rest of us is counting money for a nigga that's gone. How you feel about that?
Wow. Here you are. Here you are. Probably with a morning team that garnered some of the highest ratings in New York City radio history on the number one hip-hop station on the planet.
Yes.
You have to pay homage to that.
I don't pay homage to gangsta rap.
I didn't say gangsta rap, but hip-hop radio. And that's hip-hop radio in the South. They wouldn't play that crap in the North.
Well, they
are you serious?
But I know that there are going to be people who are going to be playing his music as in some sort of way to suggest that a talented rapper is gone. Somebody who was uplifting their people as if he was to be martyred. So when I saw...
You know what I drive with?
What's that?
You want to know what I drive with?
Please, what is the music that you drive with?
Where's the runway? I have one thing to say. That's Shay, Shante, Shante.
Well, see,
that way I get to rock my neck. I get to rock my neck at the idiots out there driving to, as well. Point my finger, rock my neck like an angry black woman.
Well, according to the police department in Atlanta, 19-year-old Melvin Vernell III, who went by Little Fat for good reason, was shot several times on the parking deck near the entrance of the Northside Hospital Women's Center and was pronounced dead later that night. Now, hold on. Listen to me, JC. Listen to me. Okay? You have to find this out. Okay? I need you to find this out before the end of the show.
What's that?
Okay, listen to me. You have to follow where I'm going here. I apologize for the noise in the background, folks. Anyway, Melvin Vernell III was shot in a parking deck near the entrance of the Northside Hospital Women's Center. I need you to find out if Little Fat was taking his girl to get an abortion. I am putting any amount of money that one of two things were going down at the Northside Hospital Women's Center, and either the woman he was taking there was getting treated for something, maybe a venereal disease, or quite possibly having an abortion. Please find out whether or not the Northside Hospital Women's Center, that's all I need to know, because this will broaden this picture. You follow where I'm going?
I gotcha.
Okay, let's find out whether or not there are abortions that take place at the Northside Hospital Women's Center in Atlanta. Who gets shot and killed outside of the Northside Women's Center? That sounds like an abortion to me. It sounds like it. There's a deeper story here, ladies and gentlemen. There's a deeper story here. Somebody got shot outside of a hospital, not even near an emergency room. For Pete's sake, it wasn't even at a funeral.
which I hear is socially acceptable in the hood. Shoot somebody as they're leaving a funeral. That's okay. But we've got to find this out. What in God's name is going on with all these sirens? I hope there's no fire nearby. So let's get into what I... Can you guys finish? Anyway, let's get into what it is that I say is a travesty, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the reason why Hollywood sucks. The reason why comic book movies are doing so well, ladies and gentlemen, is because even though we know the story of these superheroes, we only see them in pictures. When we were young as comic book fans, anybody who knew comic book characters, even people who watched Saturday morning cartoons or cartoons after school, what we loved was the idea that someone could play this role on the big screen and we can see live action heroes. That's the reason why these movies do so well. Even the ones that suck. Daredevil, Hulk, Hulk 2, Elektra. There have been some bombs. But they still do well. They still do over $100 million. I don't think in the past 20 years there has been a superhero movie that did less than $100 million. I'm almost certain of that. Unless it was like some, and when I say superhero, I mean something from a graphic novel. Those don't count. Real comic books. You know which ones I'm talking about. Not that crap that the rest of these hack jobs did. Okay,
Jesse. Speaking of abortions, Halle Berry, as much as I love her, Catwoman, I don't think that did that well.
Yes, it did. Did over $100 million.
Did it?
Of course it did. Did over $100 million.
Let me shut my mic off.
Did over $100 million. It was a complete box office bomb, but it made over $100 million. Why? Because of overseas money. But people still want to see it. They still want to see it. People still wanted to see Halle Berry in that cat suit, even though they knew it was a dumbass move by the, you know, by the producers. And the movie execs in the Hollywood studios, they have no clue what works. They only go off what was the last thing that worked. So back to my point. Samuel L. Jackson, in a move that I personally think is worse than taking on snakes on a plane, has joined the cast of the Hollywood remake of RoboCop. That's right. RoboCop. He'll take on the role of an influential media tycoon named Pat Novak in the futuristic high-security world of RoboCop. Other A-list actors on the cast will be Gary Oldman. I loved him in The Professional, which I just saw recently. As for the title role, it has been given to Swedish actor Joel Kinnaman. Kinnaman will follow in the footsteps of Peter Weller, who many of you remember played the original Alex Murphy, a policeman who's killed in the line of duty, who's revived and transformed into a cyborg. Apparently, the shooting will begin in September with Brazilian filmmaker Jose Padilha. Is it Padilha? P-A-D-I-L-H-A?
No, it shouldn't be H. It should be two L's.
I know, but it's actually spelled P-A-D-I-L-H-A. Padilha, who made his international mark with Elite Squad, who watched this, which won the 2008 Golden Bear Award at the Berlin Film Festival, is set to bring RoboCop a story that first took cinematic shape under the eye of Paul Verhoeven to a new generation in summer of 2013. So it's actually going to film later this year and be out the next summer, in less than a year after production. Now that, my friend, spells certain doom. Now, as you already know, Total Recall is coming to theaters this summer, the remake of the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, which I'll admit, not the greatest film in the world, but entertaining. It was entertaining. Michael Ironside played the villain. I don't know who the actor is who plays the role, and his name will come to me. It's going to come to me, but he played Sergeant Bogomil, in the Beverly Hills Cop movies. He was the bad guy in Total Recall. His name's going to come to me. But Total Recall, pretty good movie. Sharon Stone's in it. You remember, she gets shot in the head, killed immediately in the film. Brief little role. I love Michael Ironside's character because he wasn't a typical villain. But he's pretty badass. Got his arms chopped off in the elevator. Near the end, at the climactic ending. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a dual double role. We know how the movie ends, so I'm not giving any spoilers here. But Hollywood has lost its touch. Nothing original. In fact, in order to see original films nowadays, you got to go to smaller films. The smaller films that are coming out. These small independent films. As I've talked about for years. In the last year, in fact, I just talked about it earlier this year. In the last year, in 2011, every movie that I saw was a little film that could. Those are the movies that I enjoyed. Biggest blockbuster film I saw was Bridesmaids. That's the biggest movie I saw that was successful. I saw that movie Drive. I loved it. Ryan Gosling. I give you dabs on that. I saw that Spielberg-produced trash, Super 8, which I now refer to as Super 8. I saw a little movie called Win, which was great. It starred Paul Giamatti, Jeffrey Tober. If you can get it, I don't know if you can get it on Netflix. You probably can't, but if you try, get it. It's a movie called Win. What the heck did JC just do? But if you can get a chance, go see it. It came out in 2011. It's a great film. But no one's even talking about any of these great... It took the Avengers to come out. That was the only movie I was talking about last year that was coming out this year. So Hollywood's lost its touch. Go ahead, JC.
I hate it when you're right.
Oh. You hate it when I'm right? For crying out loud. Think of the biggest movie we saw in the last 6 months. What was the biggest movie to come out?
I'm talking about Northside Women's Clinic.
Ah! Okay, folks, we're back to talking about Little Fat and his death that happened this afternoon. Shot outside of the Northside Hospital Women's Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Please break down what the Northside Hospital Women's Center is, please.
Certified registered nurses and these. Hold on. Certified registered nurses, anesthetists, abortion care, referral and referral services. Wow, it's an abortion clinic.
It's an abortion
one of many.
Clinic. Now, this is going to be a scary, scary prediction. This is going to be a scary prediction. Find out if Planned Parenthood has anything to do with this facility.
I'm on their website now.
I'll put any amount of money that Planned Parenthood is associated with that facility. Now, I'm willing to guess that Little Fat, Melvin Burnell III, was sitting outside while a girl that he either knocked up or possibly
gave him venereal disease to. I'm sorry, I don't mean to brag on him. I'm not trying to do that. I know I'm being insensitive here, but I don't care.
Northside Women's Clinic accepts cash, credit cards, and debit cards. No personal checks.
No personal checks. What was Melvin Burnell III doing outside of the Northside Hospital Women's Center? That is a big question. And was he shot in regards to the reasons that he was there? Who knew he was there? That's a peculiar place for a guy, a rapper, who's counting money for the niggas who's gone, to be hanging out and shot and killed. I'm never wrong on things like this. I'm telling you, I can read through this. I'm reading through it. They're saying authorities are searching for two men who were spotted fleeing the scene following the shooting. They're not talking about anything else, but I'm certain that somebody is upset about a relationship. This is always about a woman. Trust me when I tell you.
You think it could be a lifer?
No. What I'm suggesting here is that usually when you're thinking about people being shot and killed, especially within the urban sprawl. Okay? If it's not about drugs or not about some disrespect or not about gangs, it will swing always to a girl.
To a broad.
Always. And to be standing outside, or sitting for that matter, inside of a car, outside of the Northside Women's Northside Hospital Women's Center. To be shot there is pretty peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
And they perform abortions, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I'm telling you, I'm not wrong about this. I'm not wrong about this. I've given the guy way too much time on these airwaves, but then, as soon as I read that, that caught my eye. It's a pretty odd place to be shot and killed. Any association with Planned Parenthood?
None so far. I can't find any.
Okay. I'm sure it is.
I think we have company.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
My apologies. Oh, I think I know who this is. Is this our friend?
Brother Man?
Yes, it is. The number's 347-308-8701. Mike?
Hey, you're missing the obvious reason that Lil Fat was hanging out in front of the abortion clinic.
Please tell me, Mike.
I think he was, I mean, what better place to pick up chicks? I mean, you know they put out.
Oh, wow.
That is just awesome. Okay, I don't care if that's insensitive, but that's awesome. Look. I cannot top that, Mike. But, Mike, am I far-fetched here that the guy, what's he doing getting shot outside of the Women's Health Center?
I mean, if he knocked up some baby mama, God dang it, at least you go in the clinic with her.
You know what I'm saying? Talk about insensitive.
Hey, good God, dude. Go sit in the lobby.
Sit in the lobby if she's in there. No matter what it's about. If it's an abortion.
Those are great magazines. They even got Field and Stream.
Exactly. And in some abortion clinics, I hear they even play horrible films.
Dude, you know he had an iPhone.
That's awful. I want to know. See, I don't care so much about the shooting. Because everyone's just going to say, like, oh, why was he shot? Oh, the two people fled. Oh, we never, ever found them. It's Tupac and Biggie all over again. We are missing the real story here. Okay? Maybe there's a jilted lover, an angry ex-boyfriend. Oh, that little fat son of a gun got my girl pregnant. She tells the boyfriend, oh, I'm going down to get an abortion anyway. you know, he's going to take me and pay for it. Oh, I'm going to come see that, nigga. And then he rolls up, sees him sitting outside, waiting for her to get it done. Blah, 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 blah. It's over. But come on. I can see him getting shot and killed at the swap meet. Maybe at a rap concert. But at the abortion clinic? My man, come on. This must be investigated. This has got to be investigated. What is going on?
I bet she knows who did it.
Of course. Come on.
She knows who those two men running away were.
Right. This is. I'm telling you that this was a jilted lover. Somebody's upset. Come on. It just, it screams of what do you call it? Not just controversy, conspiracy. It screams of that. Conspiring to commit murder. Yeah, he taking me down to get rid of my gonorrhea. I got it. He's going down there to go take care of business. Yo, I heard you burnt my girl. I'm going to burn you, son. Blah, 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 blah.
When they find the shooter, they should give him a special Grammy for his service to the music industry.
Well, you heard the garbage that I played.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
Was that him?
That was him. That was why I played the song.
Hey, did you hear that one of the Ying Yang twins got busted for DUI?
Yes, I did, and I saw his...
With his 6-year-old and 3-year-old in the car?
No, he did not.
Yep.
I heard, and I saw the mugshot, but I didn't know he was with his kids.
Possession of weed. They said his eyes were glassy and he was slurring his words and speaking slowly.
We did that
but
anyway.
To be fair, he probably slurs and speaks slowly if he's not high.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, yeah, he was slurring his words and speaking slowly. How could they tell he was high? I would normally respond as opposed to. That's pretty bad. But,
if I was his attorney, I would say, if I was his attorney, I'd be in court. I said, look, listen, he talked slowly and slurred anyways. He was just driving, chopping onions.
That would be my defense if this went to trial. I would totally get exonerated. Just get him exonerated just based on that. Have you seen his music videos, Your Honor?
His name is D'Angelo Holmes. He was arrested for DUI, possession of weed, and child endangerment. He was smoking weed. He failed the field sobriety, smelled of weed, had Xanax, and a 3-year-old kid and a 2-month-old baby in the backseat.
Oh,
wow.
he's got to be so.
His eyes are glass. He could have glaucoma.
Yeah, he's got something a little deeper than that. It's definitely reached his brain, whatever it was. It's totally reached his brain.
Again, another guy who should have had a car service.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I can't.
He's probably got a cousin or something he could pay to drive him around.
Exactly. Why not? Why not? I don't see why anybody wouldn't do it.
Call a fan would just to be close.
Right.
I'm exactly. Sure he'll hit Ray Ray or Pookie or somebody to drive his butt around.
I love Pookie references. You have no idea. You just sealed it with me, Mike. I love Pookie references. Anytime you can inject the word or name Pookie, love it. or my favorite, Pumpkin, which is spelled with an N, not an M.
No, dude, the absolute is never going to get better. Than Anfernee Hardaway.
Oh, Anfernee is my...
Anfernee. Anthony, but Anfernee. Yeah.
Named on purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah, on purpose.
That's how it sounded when she said the word. Anthony.
Take a break. We come back. I've got to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow and the N-word. And how she's getting a pass. Interesting story in the state of Paris when we get back.
How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes?
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes!
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will!
I wish I could. Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs. The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs. The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back right here live on blogtalkradio.com. 9 o'clock on the East on this June the 8th, 2012. It is FUBAR Friday. Okay, I heard this story days ago. I don't know whether or not you guys heard it, but I heard the story, and it baffled me, but then I had I always like to go back into history before I make an assessment about certain individuals. So it was reported a couple of days ago that Gwyneth Paltrow was in Paris watching a performance by Kanye West and Jay-Z. Kanye West and Jay-Z have a song on the album that they did together. What's that album called? It's sort of like Something About the Throne or Inherit the Throne, some crap like that, whatever. It's supposed to be an homage to the whole idea that Jay-Z is passing the torch onto Kanye West. Like, that's relevant. Nonetheless, they have a song on the album called Niggas in Paris. Gwyneth Paltrow, who is the wife of Chris Martin, lead singer of Coldplay, is friends with Jay-Z. I'm assuming through his relationship, Jay-Z that is, through his relationship with Chris Martin. They have performed live together. They have, you know, they kind of have a double date thing going on with Jay-Z, Beyonce, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Chris Martin. So she loves Jay-Z, loves his music, I'm sure. They support each other, I'm sure. No issue with that. They're friends, you know, they hang out. Of course, they should, you know, do whatever. So in watching the concert, Gwyneth Paltrow takes a picture of the two guys on stage, Kanye West and Jay-Z. She tweets that picture and tweets the phrase, "Real niggas in Paris." And the Twitterverse pretty much gave a collective gasp. Pretty much asking, did she just put out the real, I mean, did she really do that? I mean, did she really do that? I find that stunning that she would do that. But I shouldn't be surprised. As you may remember, a couple of Grammys ago, Gwyneth Paltrow was singing with CeeLo. The F.U. song. I'm sure you remember that. So Gwyneth Paltrow is trying to become a little more edgy. She's losing her original audience, you know, the people from the 90s who had no respect for her then. Now she's amongst a cooler crowd. And now she's pretending to be down for hers, as they say in the hood. And, okay, this new phrase for Gwyneth Paltrow, that is getting some protection. I'm trying to play this audio, but it won't let me pause it. So let me just set it up. This is the rapper Nas, who came to Gwyneth Paltrow's defense.
Who has the right to use this word? I mean, look. I would slap the shit out of somebody for Gwyneth Paltrow. She's the homie. She's cool. If Gwyneth gets a pass, yo, real people get a pass, man. We know what this is. Like, we don't interrupt Italians when they say watching each other. We don't interrupt that. They're going to punch you in your mouth if you interrupt them. Don't interrupt us. And we pick and choose. Some of us will get more angry about it, you know, something than others, you know. But, you know, some people get a pass, and that's just how I'm on it. The people who I know is cool, and Winner Paltrow's a real, you know what I'm saying? So that's my homie. Shout out to Winner. You know what I'm saying? So some people, it gets a pass.
Am I losing my goddamn mind? Some people are real niggas. Gwyneth Paltrow? That's a real nigga. Ladies and gentlemen of the court, rapper Nas has lost his goddamn mind. Rapper Nas has just said Gwyneth Paltrow is a real nigga, and I support real niggas, and I slap the ish out of anybody who disrespects Gwyneth Paltrow. What? What? Somebody stop me. What the hell is happening to my country? Please, Mike, what happened?
So the daughter of Bruce Paltrow and Blythe Danner, who grew up in Santa Monica and went to private school in New York,
is a real nigga.
She's got a hood pass. She's a G.
Not. Huh. Not out of somebody. For Gwyneth Paltrow.
Sounds to me like Nas a little bougie.
I mean, come on. This is going to sound, considering yesterday's show, I'm going to sound a little bad here. But Gwyneth Paltrow is like, is the proper term milquetoast?
White bread.
White bread. Come on. Gwyneth Paltrow? I mean, that's about as... That's like saying Pee Wee Herman is gangster. You know what I mean? That's the social equivalent of, like, you know, Danny DeVito being a gangster rapper. It's not possible that Gwyneth Paltrow is a real nigga. Come on.
No, she's a vegan.
She's a real vegan. It's frightening that in this day and age that would be okay. I mean, where in her background would she be considered okay or to get a social pass on using this word? He said some people get a pass. Who are these people?
I bet it ain't Toby Keith.
And who in the hell is giving up the passes?
That's what I'm saying. Wait. If Gwyneth Paltrow can get a pass, damn, who is on this list? I want
to
know.
This chick uses collard greens to wrap her salmon for the grill.
What could she possibly... I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, of all people, if this girl can get a pass on using the N-word, honestly, if she gets a pass, I've got to pose the question, who gets a pass on using, who in the white community gets...
I'm giving David Duke a pass.
Dude, I bet Eminem gets a pass.
Yeah, Eminem will get a pass.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah,
he gets... Eminem could say it.
Things considered, he's dominated the genre. He'd have to get a pass. In fact, when it was exposed back in, what was it, the, I want to say early 2002, maybe late 2002, Source Magazine released an audio tape of Eminem rapping before he became famous, and he was using the N-word in his freestyle rap, and he had already had his first album out, and nobody cared. Nobody seemed to care.
Well, yeah, they were all trying to get on his label.
Some old audio tapes.
What'd you say, JP?
The old audio tapes of his.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and if I'm not mistaken, he was using that word in a derogatory sense.
In fact, he was dissing a black girl on that rap.
Mm-hmm.
He was dissing black girls on that rap that was revealed by Source Magazine. And the reason why it was revealed by Source Magazine was Ray Benzino, who was then
right.
One of the editors of Source Magazine at the time. He was having a public feud with Eminem, and that's when he released the audio tape, because he thought that Eminem wasn't justified for Eminem to be in the rap game, taking over the opportunity for young African Americans who should be dominating the genre, while Eminem, this white kid from Detroit, who was, you know, the biggest name at the time, or was still the biggest name, but, you know, had sort of garnered so much interest. But, okay, Eminem, fine, he'll get a pass. But if Gwyneth Paltrow gets the pass, this really lowers the bar. Does that mean that Britney Spears can say it? I mean, Britney Spears married to Kevin Federline.
Maybe it's like everything else in life, you know, pretty blonde girls get a little advantage.
Well, they are the salt of the earth.
This is true. I will concede that.
Stop doing your tracks.
I will concede that. Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow.
And why not?
But, man, I mean, what an endorsement by Nas.
Yeah.
I mean, by Nas of all people. Now, I'm going to try to find this audio next week, what Nas was talking about, because, you know, he named... I believe it was his last album. He titled his album Nigger, and the label refused to release it. He just released it as an untitled album because they said that the word was so controversial. And I believe it was at the same time when the NAACP was saying that they were planning a funeral for the N-word at the time. So they made Nas change the word. So even he had some very controversial comments about the word.
The untitled album did untitled sales, too.
This is very, very true. Hold on. Let me play this.
I mean, look, I will slap the shit out of somebody from Gwyneth Paltrow. Sue for home.
He would do what?
The pass.
What he said?
Real people get a pass.
What did he say he would do?
Listen. I'll play it again.
Who has the right to use this word? I mean, look, I will slap the shit out of somebody for Gwyneth Paltrow. She's a homie.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him for that one.
She's a homie.
I don't blame him for that one.
Man, you know,
hell, I'd do it for Pink.
Yeah, you know what? I'd do it for Pink. I would do that for Pink. Absolutely.
If Pink said slap Mary, I would slap her DDT or figure four leg lock or clothesline her all in a matter of a minute.
Now, yeah, it's a little, I don't know. It's a little scary. I mean, the fact.
I see trouble on the line.
Oh, please. Give me a break. Is he... Okay, fine. He is the perfect person. Got to bring him in. Our
Can
good
we find
friend,
him an intro?
I got to find him an intro. I definitely will. On the line, our good friend, Derek the Bounty Hunter. What's up, D? Okay. The number is 347-308-8701. Who's on the line?
It's me.
No, I know that. Who's calling the 407 number?
That's me, brother.
Dude, I said D. What's up?
We gave you an intro, man.
Derek, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you hear the controversy with Nas and Gwyneth Paltrow? Are you not there?
Yeah.
Okay, did you hear this controversy with Nas and Gwyneth Paltrow?
No.
Okay, all right. So let's break it down for you now. Derek? Listen to what I'm telling you. Gwyneth Paltrow tweeted a picture of Jay-Z and Kanye West performing in Paris, singing the song Niggas in Paris.
Uh-huh.
She tweeted the picture that read, Real Niggas in Paris. She tweeted the actual word. So people in the Twitterverse said that it was offensive for her to use that word. And Nas has come out defending her.
Oh, Lord.
Wait. Listen to what Nas had to say.
Listen to what he says, Derek.
When asked about Gwyneth Paltrow using the word nigger.
She's cool. Let them get the pass. Real people get a pass, man. We know what this is. Like, we don't interrupt Italians when they say "watch" to each other. We don't interrupt that. They're going to punch you in your mouth if you interrupt them. Don't interrupt us. And we pick and choose. Some of us will get more angry about it, you know, something than others, you know, but. You know, some people get a pass, and that's just how I'm on. The people who I know is cool, and real Paltrow's a real nigga. You know what I'm saying? So, that's my homie. Shout out to Gwyneth. You know what I'm saying? So, some people, it gets a pass.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, so, Gwyneth Paltrow has a ghetto pass, huh? You know what I'm
Wait, dude, Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think you missed the beginning.
No,
he
He was slapping the ish out of somebody who disrespected
for her.
Paltrow. He slapped the ish out of somebody for her. Gwyneth Paltrow, B.
Yeah, I know, man. Dude, man, she's from around the way, man.
Gwyneth Paltrow is from around the way.
Oh, my God, man. Oh, unbelievable, man.
Oh, this is just disgusting. So I'm glad that you're on the line because I'm going to take a break when we come back. I'm sure you want to talk about your friend George Zimmerman.
Oh.
I'm sure you do. There are some developments, and I'm glad that Mike is here as well. Mike's out in Florida. He's actually not too far from you, D, in Florida. Because I want Mike, and Mike has covered this better than anybody I know. So when we come back, we're gonna talk about the new report that came out by Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard law professor, who actually revealed something about the prosecutor in Florida and what she tried to do, threatening the school of Harvard that just came out today, and. Mike will break down how this entire campaign for Trayvon Martin is a scam by Benjamin Crump and some other revealing things when we come back. We'll get into that in a little bit. Stick around because I really, really wanted to get into this, and we'll talk about that when we come back. So just stick around. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold onto the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right, it's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
We're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is June the 8th, 2012. And as we said before the break, George Zimmerman, as we know, is going to have a hearing. His bond hearing is going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And it
I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I do know that his donations are skyrocketing.
It's going out on June 29th.
Are you kidding me? That's the same day as my next court hearing.
Yeah, it's Robin's birthday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Are we in good relationship with Robin?
Oh, we're cool. We're cool.
Oh, okay, all right. I just want to make sure.
Okay, for a husband, that bum, but, you know, we're cool.
Okay, all right, leave him out. Leave him out of it.
Okay.
All right, but George Zimmerman is going to have a bond hearing on June 29th, same day that I have my court hearing. So, of course, whether or not we'll be reporting that, I don't know, but, you know, we'll tell you the details as well as my stuff. So we'll have court on Friday. That's what we'll do. June 29th, we will have court, I guess. Court day Friday on June 29th. So we'll get into that. But I'm going to let Mike get into this because this is very important. Mike has told me about this all the time, and I've read these reports, but Mike is really, really – Mike in Florida, our friendly neighborhood white guy in Florida. And he really, really is involved in this because, I mean, this is literally – his sort of incorporation into Resona Radio came right at the really, really, like, deep part of this whole racial tension thing when he started joining us on Resona Radio. So he has literally been – at the forefront of all of this. And Derek has been an advocate for the scissor drinking Trayvon Martin. And he is. I don't care whether or not you like it or not. He is. Or was.
You watch your mouth.
But the bottom line is, okay, so it was reported yesterday by M. Dershowitz, professor at Harvard Law.
Was that hack? But go on.
Okay. He reported that the prosecutor, Angela Corey, called up Harvard University and threatened to sue the university because of Alan Dershowitz's claims that her affidavit was mismanaged or, in that point, didn't tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and was a flat-out disgrace, threatened to sue the school, which Ellen Dershowitz pretty much replied, she's clearly not a professional because she knows damn well that she can't sue. She has no right to sue whatsoever. So let's get Derek and Mike on the line. Derek, you are fascinated with the fact that George Zimmerman lied and his credibility is up in the air and he's back in jail. You're happy, you're excited. Is that a yes or no, D? Okay, we'll wait for Derek. But now, Mike, give me this breakdown. You and I have emailed each other. Well, you've emailed me more than we've tweeted each other about this. You brought me some information about Benjamin Crum and the relationship between this quote-unquote media campaign. It's actually a publicity group. Is that correct?
Correct. It's a PR firm.
Right. Okay. So give me the breakdown. What is the genesis of all of this with these people?
Trayvon Martin's dad had a sister-in-law who is a lawyer.
Okay.
And that lawyer introduced them to Natalie Jackson, who's the daughter of the former Orange County NAACP head or board member. And she put them in contact with Crump.
Okay.
And Crump is a personal injury lawyer who gained fame by getting $7.3 million from the state in a case of a young man who died at a boot camp.
Okay. Is it safe to say that Benjamin Crump is an ambulance chaser?
Oh, it's absolutely safe to say he's an ambulance chaser.
Okay. All right. Because for me personally, it's not clear why Trayvon Martin's parents would need a lawyer in this case anyway. A spokesman, yes. But not a lawyer.
Yeah, like maybe a PR firm.
Yeah, exactly. That would make very good sense, as opposed to having an attorney. Okay, so apparently there were some tweets by a member or one of the heads of this PR firm that was talking about how the Trayvon Martin family were getting these good gets, as we call them in PR. A good get, for those of you who don't know, a get is an interview, so to speak, a high-profile interview, magazine, television, news. That is called a good get. And this guy was tweeting about how they were getting all of these gets, so to speak, in media, and was even talking about upcoming interviews that the Trayvon Martin family was going to have. In other words, it really wasn't the resemblance of people, or at least the group that were involved, of that they were in some sort of mourning or were trying to be proactive in getting action done. This was really handled like you were running PR for Rihanna, Lindsay Lohan, Kim Kardashian. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like Julison, the gentleman's name is Ryan Julison. His company is Julison Communications. He is in direct contact with two reporters for the Orlando Sentinel.
Right there.
Who have been on the forefront of the case. Jeff Weiner and Renee Stutzman.
Okay.
And Julison was basically giving information to these two reporters. And more than likely, it sounds like giving them the narrative.
Okay, so now it's clear, because the best part about this in news media, for somebody like Trayvon Martin's family to have to have a spokesperson, to have a PR person who deals with the media on a regular basis, be it TV, magazines, newspapers, that is the job of a publicist. For those of you who don't know, this is how the newspaper works in a regular world. A newspaper writer's deadline is at 3 p.m. That is a writer's deadline, especially for a columnist. His deadline is at 3 p.m. You could probably stretch it for an hour. Now, let's say Mike and I were in dueling conflict of some sort. Let's say we had a lawsuit or we had a fight, you know, Hatfield-McCoy type thing. Now, me being media savvy, if I had a piece of information that I wanted out in the newspaper that Mike couldn't rebut or could rebut, the way to keep him out of the loop is this. Let's say I'm holding on to a little piece of information that I won't let get out in the newspaper and I want the advantage. I would wait until 3 o'clock, maybe even 3:30, call up the writer and say something about, well, you know, Mike's a jerk, Mike doesn't pay his bills, Mike does this, Mike does that, blah, 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 blah. And then Mike, when I'm holding them on the phone and they call Mike in his offices are closed by the time they reach him comment, so he doesn't get any chance to respond to the allegation, so he's no comment. So when the report comes out the next day, it's Reese said such and such and such and such and such, we reached Mike for comment, or Mike didn't comment in time for this report. So the bottom line is that they have the upper hand. But in this case, they don't have to worry about it because George Zimmerman's family, they're not talking to the press. So they have the upside no matter what.
And I mean, you have to figure that it hits their website pretty much whenever they want to. So if they put it up, it can actually be circulating from, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon and sit there all night before the other person can rebut.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. So you've already put that whole narrative out there. Now, and you're right. Nowadays, online newspapers or newspapers that have an online site, the way that they respond is they'll put it on their blog piece inside
mm-hmm.
the newspaper immediately. And then it'll show up in the newspaper the next day. So let's see if Derek's back. Derek, you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Derek, about it. So now you heard what it is that we said. Why is Trayvon Martin, do you think, in your opinion, why would Trayvon Martin's family have a PR firm and an ambulance chaser lawyer on their side getting their narrative out? What, do you not think that that's a little, you know, suspicious?
Well, you know what? First of all, you're sitting over here saying all news media reporters get done by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then what about these guys that get the...
They get what?
What is wrong with your phone? You've been having this problem for ages.
You hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, like I said, so what about the guys that get the basketball score late at night or the baseball score late at night or the hockey score late at night? Come on now.
No. First of all, that is wrong because those are called the night editions of a newspaper, and the only thing that they put in for the late night edition are the scores. If you grab any regular newspaper, what's the only score between September and February you never get?
Dude, listen. You
never get the football score of Monday Night Football. Do you know that?
That's true. But listen.
Go ahead. His phone is awful.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, but late night, you know, after the NBA game. So, you know,
Yeah, Derek, you got to get into a better area because I really want you to respond to this. I want your response to this. What do you want, Boricua Bell?
Hello?
Yeah, what do you want, Boricua Bell?
Nah, man, it's just this area I work at, man. I get that.
Bad reception. What are you near?
Boricua Bell.
It's terrible over here. But, yeah, like I said, you know, like I said, shoot, man, you know, that's not entirely true. Yeah.
But wait a minute, George Zimmerman's family can't respond. They don't respond. They're in hiding. It's not like they're calling.
No, man, he's a killer, man. He killed a 17-year-old kid. Look at you sitting over here talking about Trayvon Sippin Scissor, man. Where the hell did you, where is there proof of that?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Mike, please explain the Skittles and iced tea connection, please.
Well, there's tweets from Trayvon and one of his boys where Trayvon was trying to get the codeine hookup.
Did they find
and telling his boy that codeine was like a stronger form of DXM and he was only going to do lean anymore because weed is too roped, and I gather that roped in South Florida means you get arrested for it.
Did they find codeine in his system?
But they found marijuana in his system.
Yeah, and did they search him for DXM? He could have been sipping on that Robitussin. You know, they make cheap lean with that stuff.
Now, lean apparently is made with Skittles and iced tea.
Yep.
You know what, man? Look, no, it's not, man. I never heard of it. I heard of Skittles, but not no iced tea.
No, it wasn't iced tea, man. He was carrying Arizona watermelon juice.
Arizona watermelon juice, which is used
and
in lean.
You make watermelon lean with it. It's so popular, it's got its own name. Pacific Lean, watermelon flavor.
Well, I'm in a toxicology report.
Here we go guessing again, right?
I'm just saying that the dude has two of the three ingredients to make watermelon lean on him.
He had two of the three ingredients.
He also had two of the three ingredients that you could commonly go in the store and buy. I mean, I go in and buy Arizona iced tea and sometime a Reese cup.
I got a lot of you. You know, I was growing tomatoes. Give me a break here. Are you fertilizer, Reese? I didn't use Miracle Grow. Are you fertilizer?
Hey, man,
if you find me
with a cake mix and some eggs, you pretty much can assume I'm making a cake.
Derek, I know it's hard for you to believe.
It's a yellow cake, right? It's a yellow cake.
Yeah, yellow cake.
Yellow cake. That's exactly what it is. Yellow cake. Bottom line is this. If the guy had... Listen, if he talks about it on his Twitter account, he got caught with watermelon juice by Arizona and Skittles, and he's on Twitter talking about lean, and these are the two ingredients in that product, It's safe to make an assumption, isn't it? Because we can make every assumption about George Zimmerman, can't we? We can make
No. Did they find the cough syrup in his system?
I don't know if they haven't released his full pack yet, right?
Wait a minute. He never had a chance to mix them.
Then that's irrelevant.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, but
whatever,
the thing
man.
Is that trying to say that he was only had an Arizona iced tea, he clearly didn't have an Arizona iced tea.
He had watermelon juice, and he had Skittles.
You know, I want to giggle every time you guys have to say watermelon juice, man.
I know. The only thing he needed was chicken-flavored Skittles.
It's killing me, man. I mean, come on. If somebody wrote that in a movie that a kid named Trayvon got shot while holding a can of watermelon juice, they would call him a racist.
Now, my thing is this.
Yeah, they would call him a racist.
If Quentin Tarantino put that in the movie... If Quentin Tarantino put that in a movie, Spike Lee would freak out.
Yes, he would.
You know what bothers me now? You know what bothers me? Remember when they were talking about that yellow cake mix? How many black households in America yellow cake mix in, man? Come on now, man. They said that he went to Africa and found yellow cake. Come on. No, it's black people. Black people love yellow cake. All right? Come on now. Give me a break here.
Yeah, with chocolate frosting. I got one in the oven now, but yeah. I'm dead serious.
You have to get used to the fact, Derek, that this narrative is being totally dismantled every day in this case. No matter how hard you try to demonize George Zimmerman, this is looking awfully suspicious.
And wait, hold on a second. I thought
no matter how you look at it,
psychologist on medicine, wasn't he?
The song remains the same. Zimmerman's alive. This kid is dead. And you can't soften that blow by trying to take this kid and his character apart. You could take it apart a million ways. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is what happened that day at that very time when the incident went down. And I don't think, and nobody knows, and nobody's going to know until it finally comes out in court.
Yeah, but what are we going to find out? What are we going to find?
I can assure you. You're not going to get what you deem the truth out of George Zimmerman. This man has lied to cover his ass from the moment he dialed 911.
Yeah.
Well,
after shooting the kid.
I'm not going to deny that he covered his ass, but, you know, but so what?
What do you mean, so what?
Do you have a problem with the truth?
He should have run.
I want to get to the truth.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
He should have split. He's a fool.
Hold on. You know who else is dead?
Hold on. Today we're dropping a shorty off at the abortion clinic. Too fat. Was gunned down. Two homies were seen fleeing the scene.
Wait, who was that?
That was Little Fat. He was shot and killed. He was shot and killed outside of an Atlanta abortion clinic. I'm sorry.
And we're pretty sure he was not the practitioner.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, he was definitely not the practitioner. But I'm sorry, man.
We're gonna give Gwyneth Paltrow a pass, but that Bobby then Zimmerman's getting one.
Yeah, that's the whole point. If Gwyneth Paltrow can get a pass, so can George Zimmerman.
Hell no.
Yeah.
We're gonna pass his ass right to the next guy in the prison.
Hey now, come on, that's not cool.
That's not cool.
She's yours now. So the only way Gwyneth Paltrow is getting a pass, she got to get sexed into the group, man.
Listen, ain't no fun if your homies can't handle.
She's married to the whitest human being on earth.
Yeah,
and she's the second whitest human being on earth.
Exactly.
She doesn't even look like she has any black friends. She doesn't even look like she could say, "Oh, my friends are black. I have black friends." She don't look like she could say that.
Well, yeah, but it's probably like Jada Pinkett. It's probably Jada Pinkett Smith, you know.
What? God,
the hell?
Derek, are you by the police? Who is that?
She don't even look like she's got a black driver.
No, she probably does not. Well, don't forget, I mean, come on, if I think of everybody that Gwyneth Paltrow has ever dated, you know, wasn't she with Brad Pitt for a little while?
Yeah, she was with Brad Pitt.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She's close, man. I can't believe I'm sticking up for that one. Oh, my God.
When she said she's climbed the mountain that is Shaquille O'Neal, then she'll get a pass.
First of all, man, I heard Shaquille O'Neal is not packing.
I said climb the mountain.
That's
we don't care about that.
I don't even care about that. We'll take a break. We'll get back. We'll close out the show.
They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff. Appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
If anyone wants to call someone an Uncle Tom, first read the book. Uncle Tom was a heroic figure. Uncle Tom stood up against the Democrat Simon Legree, who wanted to enslave those people. He stood up and he fought, and he was willing to die for freedom. So anyone who wants to call me or any other African American an Uncle Tom doesn't know what they're talking about, because you don't know what an Uncle Tom is. You're a Sambo, you're a Quimbo, you're working for the Democrats. That's the party of slavery, and you're continuing the enslavement of our people.
This month we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama. I don't think there's a better time than African American History Month to consider the tremendous progress we've made through the sacrifices of so many, or a better time to commit to meeting the very real challenges we face right now. Every day, I think of the generations of African American men and women who overcame slavery and oppression, risked their own safety to cast a ballot, even gave up their lives to help build a country that lived up to its founding principles. Their extraordinary hope, their unwavering determination, changed this country. Their efforts made it possible for somebody like me to be here today. This is another moment where we've got to decide what kind of country we want to be. We can either settle for a country where a shrinking number of people do really well, or we can build a nation where everybody gets a fair shot, everybody does their fair share, and everybody plays by the same rules. This campaign is powered by folks at every level, taking ownership where it matters most. around the kitchen table, in barber shops and beauty salons, in your faith community, at work, or at school. And of course, in the voting booth this election day, because we are greater together than we can ever be on our own. Visit AfricanAmericans.BarackObama.com for more information about all the ways you can get involved, from attending HBCU organizing workshops to becoming a congregation captain. And say you're ready to keep making history. Thanks, and see you out there.
Sweet Sunday Radio, we're back. 10 minutes till the top of the hour, and show. That's an okay driving song.
Papa Roach. We talked yesterday with a guy by the name of Frank Cipolla, 30 years inside the news business. He worked for the local network in New York, Channel 9 News. And his new book, why am I forgetting the name of the book now? Was it It Even Shocked? Oh, yeah. It Even Shocked Us is the name of his book. And you can check it out at itevenshockedus.com. I asked him a question yesterday about liberal media bias, but not exactly like that. I just asked him whether or not there was any bias, and he pretty much confirmed what it is that we all know. A story that I talked about a couple of months ago that proves that liberals are the most racist people out there was proved I want to say 6-7 months ago in a CBS report in Chicago. And the CBS report talked about a shooting that had taken place one weekend. Steve Bartlestein, who is the anchor at this CBS network, used to be in New York on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. He was unceremoniously fired because he was, you know, having some issues, falling asleep on the job. I think he had a couple of sexual harassment charges against male workers at ABC News in New York. But this was a report that he did in Chicago. And this, I believe, is a clear example of that type of racism. Now, anybody who knows Steve Bartlestein thinks that, you know, he's a pretty good guy, pretty decent guy. I believe that he was when, you know, he was working in New York. In fact, I watched him every morning. He was on with Laurie Stokes, who's originally from Ohio. And it was Steve Bartlestein's and Laurie on every morning, early morning. Watch him all the time. But this is a report that they did about a shooting that took place at an interview that the news reporter had with a 4-year-old boy that was outside present at the shooting. This is the way the broadcast went.
Meantime, two teenagers are wounded on the city's south side. It happened at East 74th as an 18-year-old man and 16-year-old girl were hit while standing on the sidewalk. The male's in good condition while the girl's expected to recover. And kids on the street, as young as 4, were there to see it all unfold and had a disturbing reaction.
No, I'm not scared of nothing.
When you get older, you're going to stay away from all these guns?
No.
No?
No.
What do you want to do when you get older?
I'm going to have me a gun.
That is very scary indeed. So far, no suspects are in custody.
Now, again, little 4-year-old boy says, I'm going to have me a gun. Then the actual audio and video surface of the entire interview with the 4-year-old boy. It went like this.
Boy, that's what I like to hear. You ain't scared of nothing. Damn. When you get older, you're going to stay away from all these guns?
No.
No?
No.
What do you want to do when you get older?
I'm going to have me a gun.
You are? Why do you want to do that? You know what's happening?
I'm going to be the police.
Okay, well then you can have one.
Edited out that he was going to be the police.
And Steve Bartleston says, very disturbing.
Meantime, two teenagers are wounded on the city's south side. It happened at East 74th as an 18-year-old man and 16-year-old girl were hit while standing on the sidewalk. The male's in good condition while the girl's expected to recover. And kids on the street, as young as four, were there to see it all unfold and had a disturbing reaction.
No, I'm not scared of nothing.
When you get older, you're going to stay away from all these guns?
No.
No?
No.
What do you want to do when you get older?
We'll have me a gun.
That is very scary indeed. So far, no suspects are in custody.
Was it racist? I think that's a valid question, gentlemen.
Hell yeah.
What do you think the motivation was?
To scare white people.
Derek, come on, man.
Now, you're going to sit over here and say that just liberal media is racist? Come on, man. America in itself is racist, dude. Come on now.
Forget about America is racist. What about the media?
So you're saying, the entire liberal media is racist. Is that what you're trying to say?
The entire media is based on portraying black people as idiots and fools.
I tend to agree. This was an opportunity. This was an opportunity to show everyone that even a four-year-old boy who is probably plagued by violence in his neighborhood still wanted to be on the side of righteousness. I'm going to be a cop. I want to stop this. And what did they use it to do? To perpetuate a narrative that four-year-old boy wanted to get himself a gun, too, and just start shooting.
I'm surprised they didn't Photoshop a can of watermelon juice in his hand.
You know, hold on one second. Hold on. Reese, how long have you known me?
I'm going to say a little over 20 years now.
Now, Reese, when have you ever seen me eat?
When have I ever seen you eat watermelon? I don't think I ever have. Not even the chopped kind.
I don't eat grits either,
dude. I don't eat grits
either. All right? Come on now.
He just got no reason to live. Grits are fantastic. What the hell's wrong with you?
He ain't no self-respecting southerner. He probably eat those instant grits.
Fried chicken's pretty damn good, too.
Oh, come on. You know, hold on one second. You talk about fried chicken. You know, when Colonel Sanders...
Oh, come on. You're about to make a good point. What's wrong with your phone?
It must be Boozmobile.
The biggest franchise restaurant in the world when he died. And you're going to sit there and that's because black people ate fried chicken?
Well, first of all, they don't have churches
in the suburbs.
Yeah, so that's a recipe from his damn black mammy, man. We all know that, dude. Come on now. Give it a break now.
Yeah, but they only put burglar bars on church's chicken. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Hey, hold on. Church has got a good spicy, though. You can't front it.
I've never seen a churches in a good neighborhood.
And you never will.
Dude, I'm not stopping there. Call them up and say, can you deliver?
We're on 7th Avenue in Manhattan. But listen, please.
Go ahead, JC.
There's a very slight chance, I'll let you know maybe Sunday, that I might either be late or not here on Monday.
Okay, you might not be here on Monday? Okay, no problem.
Right. Okay.
Are you going to get your drink on?
No, I got invited backstage to Monday Night Raw.
Oh, okay.
Really? Oh, wow.
3 hours on Monday. It's the first time they're going, they're going to be going 3 hours. Every Monday from now on, live. And the first 3-hour show begins next Monday night in Hartford.
Stay away from the divas, dude.
Oh, no, he's not staying in. You crazy? You try to stop him. Try to stop him. All right, that's our show for today, guys. We will see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay out of trouble. Be good. And we'll see you Monday. I'm pretty sure it'll be more news, more views, and the usual stuff.
And for Mary Mary, why are you bugging? For JC, the producer.
Our friendly neighborhood white guy, Mike from Florida, and Derek the Bounty Hunter on Resetter Radio. And we will see you on Monday.
I see some black people looking at me. Man, it ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Ted Koppel ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside?